Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It was just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray,
thank you.
Let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you, nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a foot behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
Yes, the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM, Paddy McGill here. My thanks to Austin O'Callaghan and Conor Breslin who filled in for the last two Thursdays, but thankfully I am back from my holidays. Now, Donegal lost out this evening to Dublin in the National Football League semi-final, 118 to 114. We have reaction later on from Chris McNulty. We spoke to a number of supporters, also caught up with Mark McHugh, David McCaig and Malachy Clerkin of the Irish Times. But before all that, let's just have a quick look back at the action.
Challenge game feel to it, doesn't it?
It does seem, even with spectators here, it seems a wee bit, I don't know, how can you say, dead? The game seems a wee bit dead. There's no real intensity in it. Now, not that we can feel from up here, anyway. But, you know, hopefully it'll kick into life. It just feels that wee bit that, you know, if we spoke about the game before, it is a dead rubber match, and maybe that's what it ends up going to be. But, you know, there's a chance here, looking at these two teams, that Donegal can win the league. Go out and get it, Donegal. Yeah. You know, we don't be crying out for, you know, we cry out for silverware at Donegal, and when we get a chance there, we should take it.
They've already made it up to the Donegal 13-metre line with Con O'Callaghan. Will the Dublin men lead for the first time in the semi-final? They certainly will. All too easy for the cooler man, Con O'Callaghan. He fists that ball over the bar. Dublin 7 points, Donegal 6 points.
He's so direct and he's so good.
And Oran Manelis has been taken off the Donegal team. In comes Conor O'Donnell. Manelis looked, he wasn't moving that well. So, not actually even sure where he is now. He's
probably getting nice. Imagine it was a forced substitution. I didn't see anything while wrong with him. He was moving greatly, but you don't, like, it's only what, 2 or 3 minutes to half time, I doubt they were going to, you know, make a change that, you know, in that stature in a game. So, yeah, he must have picked up a wee injury, and Conor Donald's on. But again, looking forward to see Conor Donald. I was very impressed with him against our man. I've heard a lot of good things about him. So, this is really it. Dublin, you know, for a young man coming on against All-Ireland champions, let him bather away.
Yeah, and there's a chance here of a goal for the All-Ireland champions. And that's why they're All-Ireland champions. They rarely miss. Paddy Small with the final touch. It was brilliant work there from Cormac Costello. The Donegal defence was opened up, and it's a goal for the Dublin men. What, just over 90 seconds. Kieran Kilkenny puts that one over the bar. 3 points at the start of the second half. We've only played over 3 minutes. Dublin 1-11. Donegal 7 points. We talked about the blitzkrieg. They're just able to obliterate teams in the space of minutes.
Yeah, and listen, as I said, they probably should have had a goal in this period as well. It's, you know, Brian Fenton, Kieran Kilkenny, Callan, they seem just to lift it whenever they want to lift it. I'd say they might have got a wee 8-2, a wee talking to at half time and said, listen lads, just come on, can we finish this game? And they've come out and tagged on 3 points straight away, and we've only played, you know, 3 minutes. It's fantastic football.
Dublin in cruise control. As Mark said many times, this game has fizzled out, and it really fizzled out at the start of the second half. Dublin now just happy to hold on to possession. In many ways it is all the hallmarks here of a challenge match. And
yeah, I think you spoke whatever about even the second half. I think from day one that intensity wasn't there. Like, and we you asked me the question before the game about, you know, will people take this serious, or will it be this and will it be that? And we said we'll know after 5 minutes, and we didn't know. That intensity was never there. It's, again, as they call it, a glorified challenge match. We're getting a good run out under the belt, trying different things out for both teams, which I'm sure they did. And listen, they'll come away with positives on both sides. Does it affect their championship teams? I suggest it probably doesn't. Declan Bonner probably has his in his mind. And same with Desi Farrell.
That is the full-time whistle. Blown by Kieran Branigan. Dublin, 1 goal and 18 points. Donegal, 1 goal and 14 points. Dublin and Kerry will share the National League football title.
Yes, 200 supporters of Kingspan Breffni Park, 100 from Donegal, 100 from Dublin, and I am joined, they do not come any bigger. Edward Malloy, Edmund Brennan, Brendan O'Reilly, and I'm going to start with you, a Bundoor native.
Aye.
It is, and I saw you mentioned last year in the programme, you know, before the Donegal Cavan game, and I even mentioned you in commentary, Mark, and I, guys like yourself and Edmund Brennan and that, they couldn't go to games.
Aye.
But you're back today, Brendan.
Torture for the last year and a half, not been able to go to a game. A Sunday, that was our Sunday from, I was a young fella, football, and the family the same. And it was a long, long spell without a game. But I was delighted to be here today now to see a game, regardless of how it turned out. I'm just delighted to see how the young fellas done on the team. You know, they weren't overawed, and they contributed a lot there. Young O'Donnell from Carndonagh, to me, is a lad now that there's a big future for. With the help of God, that he won't pick up an injury or... But all the young fellas now contributed there this evening, and I'm glad that we were. They got the workout, and it was a big step up to play again Dublin in Breffni or in any park. Now the second half was a wee bit disappointing, the type of game it turned out to be, over and back across the field. But that's the way things were, sure.
You looked after all. You had a creche I heard in Sligo for years, looking after all these county players. They talk about role models. I think everyone looked up to you, Brendan.
I know, it was a good crack. They were all great young fellas.
Taking them out of house parties.
Keeping them patrolling the streets of Sligo to make sure they were in bed early and all this kind of stuff. But no, they were all grand young fellas, and all like you'd be going on a winter evening through the gap and snow and hailstones and. The fellas in Sligo would be ringing them and telling them there was a great party in the Leitrim, and these boys heading for Drumbow, Muck and Clobber, you know. It was a big commitment for young fellas, and fair play to them. Any fella that goes through that and goes out on that field, he deserves credit.
Well said, Brendan, a legend of a supporter, and I'm joined by another one now. Don't know where to start with you, Edmund Brennan. I met you before the game, and you were telling me that you were here in 1963?
I was here in 63. I was 10 years of age at the time. My father took me here to the Ulster Final in 63. That had been the first year that I would have went to see in the county. Like, you know, and I've been following mostly since.
Wow.
You know, yes.
Just, we heard there just from Brendan how tough the last year has been. I mean, how have you found it?
Yes, it's been very tough, all right. Like, I really missed it, like, you know. But it's great to be back here today, and I was lucky enough to get a ticket. And I thank the person that got it for me. I'll not mention any names. So I was very glad to be here tonight. And the boys put up a good show tonight. Like, and I would say Declan will be happy that he got an extra game in the National League, you know, and we got no injuries, and that's, you know.
How far do you think Donegal will go?
Well, I think we'll have to take it. We'll have to take it game by game, as far as Ulster goes, like, because we're in the preliminary round, and we're going to get nothing easy in Uri, you know. But he got a lot of players, got a lot of minutes under their belt this evening, like young Conor O'Donnell got on. It's nice to see Tony McLennan getting a run out there the day, and young Doherty from Glenties set up Owen McGettigan for the goal.
Yeah.
Played well, you know, so we'll be hoping for the best. And
will you get a ticket for Newry?
Well,
I hear Brendan is buying a helicopter, and his users are going to watch it from just over the ground.
Hey, I might buy one myself if I can put all the money together.
We'll try and get you in some way.
That's the man with the money there.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll get tickets somewhere. And that's, yeah. We'll get into Uri, and we'll take on down, and Downer, when it comes to the Ulster Championship, Downer are always a tight team, you know?
Yeah.
Aye. Now, I'll tell you one thing about 63. The Donegal didn't score in the first half in 63. Donegal hadn't scored at half time. It was 6 points to no score at half time. And Donegal got a goal and a point at the start of the second half from Des Houlihan. No, Des Houlihan was fouled. John Hannigan got a penalty, and Cormac Bristol and Gaidore got a point. And we were well bitten to finish up. And the Miners were bit by 1 point that day, 4-6 to 2-11. 2-11 was a fair score to get to an Ulster Minor final, and we're still beat.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. You have some memory, Edmund Brennan. That is just incredible. Just looking around me here, I see Brian Fenton taking some photos with young Donegal supporters. Thanks very much, Edmund Brennan. I'll finish up with a great Arb Draman, Edward Malloy, and of course you'd have stewarded so many games as well, so you'd be kind of been in and back, but even just talking to the guys, Brendan and Edmund there, it's great to see people back.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough, I suppose, from stewarding. I've been at most of all the games this last 12 months, but certainly it's lovely to be among your own supporters and welcome them back here this evening, even if it's only a hungrick. It gags a bit of atmosphere, kind of matches that's been missing the last 12 months, you know, and it's nice to have him back, you know, certainly is.
Yeah, some memory, Edmund Brennan, but it's incredible, you know, just talking even about 1963, it really is what it's all about. It's about history, and it's about so much more than an actual game itself. But I suppose on this current Donegal team, where do you think they're at?
Yeah, I'd be very encouraged by display this evening. Great points going there in the second half, and they didn't fold. You know, they could have laid down, but they came back. What was it, 4 points in the end up? They missed a goal chance, Austin Gelling. If he could put that goal away, it would have been a game gone finish. Missing probably four or five players, you know, against such big champions as Dublin, you know. I think the future looks bright, and we have a good panel of players, young and old, and I'd be hopeful that we'll make progress this year, beyond last year, anyway, at least.
Yeah. And so say all of us. Thank you very much, Edward Malloy.
Okay, Patrick, you're welcome.
Yeah, Donegal's top scorer in the National Football League. It's Kilcar's Paddy McBrady, 118 to 114. How would you summarise that one?
Hard to know. I think we started off well. Probably a couple of unforced errors then, after the water break in the first half. We're happy enough for where we were at half time, but we gave away the first three balls I think we had in our hands in the second half, and then Dublin must have got 4 or 5 points in a row, and then we were chasing the game then the whole time.
Yeah, and trailing at half time, and in terms of possession and chances created, Mark McHugh and myself are on commentary, like it didn't feel like Dublin should have had a 4 or 5 point lead.
Yeah, but listen, we made a couple of unforced errors there. They punish. That's what Dublin do. They punish you. You can't afford to make any mistakes against them. So it's something we're going to have to look at. When you're playing a team like Dublin, you can't afford to make mistakes like we did.
It had the feeling at times, looking at us from the outside in, and obviously you're playing in the game, but it did feel at times like a challenge game.
Listen, we're missing 4 or 5 men there. But listen, I thought some of the lads that came in there put up their hand, no doubt. Newry, in 2 weeks' time, them boys will be pushing for game time. So there's 2 weeks' training there now. It's going to be competitive, so listen, we'll definitely take learnings out of the game.
Yeah, what's it would be like for a young lad like we've seen Owen McGettigan coming in and getting a goal and a point? You'd know as a forward, your currency is goals and points, obviously. I would imagine everybody's a confidence player, but that'll do him the likes of the world of good.
Oh, unreal. Hey, Owen now's put his hand up there now, and he'll be full of confidence, and he'll take that into training hopefully Tuesday night. The good thing about the squad at the minute is very competitive, especially in the forward line. So every training session we go to, it's competitive, and you can't afford to have one bad training session or game, and you'll be down the pecking order.
On a personal level, you're Donegal's top scorer in the National Football League, and you must be very happy with how you're going yourself. Like you've been a remorseless machine yourself on the pitch. Some excellent performances.
Listen, I'm just happy to be injury free. I've got a run of games there now where we haven't picked up any niggles or knocks, and that hasn't been the case for the last 2 or 3 years. And I'm just happy to be that playing games and getting full games under my belt.
Finally, and I know you need to go. The team's up on the stand eating food there, and I don't want to keep you, but
It is all about the championship now in 2 weeks' time, Paddy, isn't it? And let's be honest, it's a tough route this year. It's starting off in the Premier Round in the toughest province of all.
Yeah, listen, we got to a league semi-final. We're happy with that. We're going to Newry now. It's going to be a battle. Down probably feel like they should have been in an Ulster final last year. They were 10, 11 points up against Cavan in that game, in the semi-final. They're going to be gunning for us. We have to be ready. We have to get the boys back. Whoever's missing there tonight need to be back now. Training the next 2 weeks, and it's going to be competitive. The games are coming quick and fast, and you know, it's all about keeping a fit squad together and getting a good run of games under us.
Good man. Well, Paddy, I'll let you off. Thanks so much.
Cheers, buddy. Good man.
Yeah, Mark McHugh has stayed on. Now delighted to be joined by, we'll call you the new Monaghan manager, David McHague. I know you're after Banty's job, but listen, you were on commentary today with Radio and the Gaeltacht. What did you make of that one?
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, looking back on it, Dublin showed all their class at different stages and their attacking style and their defensive style. And I suppose the way they broke through Donegal's defensive system as easily as they did would probably be cause of concern for Donegal. But from Dublin's point of view, they're well practiced in dealing with, you know, defences that are going to sit back. And as I said, they broke into that scoring zone really easily. So that was really impressive from their point of view. From Donegal's point of view, they will take some hope from it in terms of, you know, the players that they were missing, the leadership they were missing, and how that might be able to, you know, fill that gap later on in the year if those players can recover sufficiently enough to play a part later in the year.
Mark, and I know you're like us all here, you want to get out of Kingsman Breffni Park, but just a final word for you on this. And you know, so even talking at half time, and we said it many times in commentary, that in many ways it did feel like a challenge game, didn't it?
I did say that, I suppose, in commentary, and it was, in my view. You know, you asked me, I said before the game, what you know, is this going to be a good game for Donegal, a good game for Dublin or something like that? And I says, this one low after 5 or 10 minutes, and I just never felt from day one that intensity was there anywhere in the field. It wasn't in the crowd here, and it just kind of, as I said, from 5 minutes after the second half, it just fizzled out throughout. I don't think, I know, you know, David was saying there, you know, Donegal might take a bit of hope. I don't think much teams, either team will take much out of either game, bit the game at all, because what will exactly they learn? Like, we've seen what Monaghan did to Donegal with the pace. The last day, and that was up and down. Dublin didn't have that today. They just click into gear at any given time they wanted to, and that's what I'd be afraid of. Everybody else in Ireland's point of view, they seem to be able to do that whenever they want. They came out at the start of the second half, pegged on 3 scores. They sat off another while. They conceded 3 scores, and again lifted it. They can do that, Paddy, and that's why they're the best, and that's why everybody, you know, they're up there for everybody around the country to catch. But yeah, listen, it's been a reasonable league for Donegal. We finished top of our group. That's all we can hope for. We probably did have a few lucky results, I suppose, Monaghan and Armagh. But it's now just all focused. It was just getting through the league with as many injuries as we can. We do have a list of them. We need to get them back on the field, get them back training, because you know, it's a long way to an Ulster final from the Premier Round stage, and we're going to need a panel for it. But looking forward to the Ulster Championship, yeah.
And I let you go, Mark, and I will see you in 2 weeks in Park Isler in Newry.
Good man, Paddy. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Mark. Of course, Mark was only in commentary. Just, David, we mentioned this, you know, about it being a challenge game and that. So, like, Declan Bonner, from your opinion, he won't be overly concerned at the same time, was he? I know you said there'll be little maybe parts of the matches that he'll pick apart, but it'll matter none in 2 weeks against Down, will it?
Absolutely not. I suppose what will matter against Down in 2 weeks is maybe the number of injuries he may have picked up tonight. Like, obviously Neil McGee didn't start. Oran McFadden-Ferry is back in the country and played this evening, and hopefully he hasn't gone off with an injury from Donegal's point of view as well. Steve McMenamin, I saw, had a hamstring issue, and Oran McNeilish as well saw had ice in his hamstring as well. So those are concerns from. So that part of it will matter in a fortnight's time. The performance, maybe not so much. Maybe one of the two fringe players came in there towards the end. I think it was young McGettigan got a goal and a point, and that'll give his confidence no harm, and he'll be bouncing back into training on Tuesday night looking and fighting for a place. So that'll probably add into it. But again, the result and the performance, no matter what way it went this evening, won't impact on the preparations for Down at all.
You're obviously with Monaghan, and let's call it a spade a spade. I know after matches you say it's one game at a time and that. It's all about the championship, I mean, isn't it though? Everything that every county, okay, Wicklow had a great win today, for example, and they know they're not going to be winning Leinster, but for you guys in Monaghan, Donegal, Tyrone, it's all about 2-3 weeks' time.
There's no doubt about that, and I think, you know, as you say after the game, it's one game at a time. It is one game at a time in preparation for the Championship. Now, on the flip side of that, like Dublin and Kerry are sharing a league tonight, it probably won't matter that much to them, but if Monaghan or Donegal had got their hands on the National League trophy, that would be a massive plus to those counties. So just whatever perspective your county has and where they're at, but for us, you know, the focus has mainly been on Fermanagh from day one, and after tomorrow, we get a chance to focus 100% on Fermanagh without any other conflicts. So that's, and same for Donegal. Now it's all about Down, and you know Down are probably at home tonight looking at Donegal, and they've got some problems and some questions to answer as well.
Where can Donegal be got at from an outside point of view?
I think I mentioned, you know, how Dublin, you know, broke into the scoring zone as easily as they did. If you look at the frees where Donegal conceded tonight, they conceded all the frees in and around the D. So that meant that runners arriving in there at pace, and how they dealt with those runners. So Down will take hope from that. And again, Down's system won't differ too much from Dublin's tonight, but whether they can effectively implement the system as well as Dublin, that's for them to answer, and I'm out of doubts about that.
Look, I know you need to go as well, but look, I know, and it's repetitive, and you know, I want to avoid repetition, but we're 6-8, and they're an incredible outfit. Mark was saying, even in the first 25-30 minutes, they're grand, they're laissez-faire, they can hang in there though. And then we have these various stages where it's a blitzkrieg, like after half time, just 3 points like that. They're an awesome team, aren't they?
They are, and I think, you know, when we say an awesome team, what makes an awesome team, I suppose, is their on-field leadership. And you could see that, see, after half-time, you could see the likes of James McCarthy's and Brian Fenton's, their most influential period in the game was that period. And that gave them the cushion then, I suppose, to manage the game from there. And I said that they're phenomenal, they're the template, they're for everybody else. And, you know, they're going to leave a huge challenge for everybody to try and catch them, I suppose. It's an awful pity that we don't have a league final between Dublin and Kerry at this stage for us all to watch and see maybe our Kerry in that bracket. Well, maybe, hopefully, we may find out later on some more.
Dave McCaig, thank you so much for joining me here on the Donegal GA podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, Malachy Clerken, the Irish Times, Dublin 118, Donegal 114. How do you view that one?
Well, it was an odd occasion, really. Like, the, you know, the fact that Tyrone had got hammered earlier in the day meant, sure, there was nothing to play for, really. Like, and it looked like it, you know, it looked like both teams. Like, of course, Donegal weren't going to be playing in a league final anyway, and, you know, Dublin realised this, you know, before they went out, that there was nothing to play for either. So, like, it was an old style. The two teams played very defensive, one at one end, one at the other. There was no hits in it. It was just a nothing. Like, it was a challenge game, really. There was no bite to it. You could see the Donegal team that were put out there, like, what, 8 of them will start against Down in a fortnight, would you say? Like, maybe 9?
Yes. Yeah, certainly. Look, Michael Murphy not there, obviously. Neil McGee, you have guys there. Possibly Paddy McGrath's going to come in. Owen Barngaller wasn't there today, and a couple more as well. So.
So, you know,
it was a dead rubber, essentially. But at the same time, Mark did say in commentary, Donegal have only won ever one National Football League, but they just didn't look like they cared that much about it.
No, well, and you know, that is entirely understandable. You know, they're at, the way the league has been structured, there's nothing, you know, the big game for them. Even if they won a league title. If they win a league title and lost to Down the next week, who'd remember the league title of 2021? Like, nobody'd really care, you know.
It had so much more weight 15, 20 years ago, didn't it? Remember, packed Crow Parks for league finals.
Oh, but even in a normal year. In a normal year, like where you had a league final and there was a month until the Championship, you got it. Donegal winning a National League, fantastic. But like, just the circumstances of this meant this was all, it was very low key, very, very downgraded, really. Like, the game itself was fine. I thought Donegal were decent for the first half an hour. But Jesus, like, I think, what was it? 6 points each about the half hour mark. And if you went away, if you're watching on TV and you went away and had a phone call to make for 15 minutes either side of half time, you left a game that was level and came back to one where Donegal were 7 points behind. You know, Dublin just, it didn't take an awful lot for them. Like, they got in for one goal chance. They actually got in for two. I was surprised Conn fisted the ball over the bar, I think, for whatever that was, their fifth or sixth point. He shimmied around Brendan Cole really easily and got in front of goal. And, like, Conn's usually a man that goes straight for the onion bag. Like, and he fisted that over the bar. But, like, Kilkenny notched one, Costlow didn't miss a free all day, and then they had a breakout goal. Like, it was beautiful to watch the way they broke out. They ran the length of the pitch, and like, you could see Costlow pointing to Paddy Small, say, go in there, and that was two passes before it was actually played. You know, he pointed Paddy Small in there, ran diagonally off Merchant, took the pass off Merchant and put Paddy Small away. Like, it was a beautifully constructed goal, very fast, very, very controlled. So they're so good. Like, and then they scored the first 3 points of the second half.
It's the blitzkrieg that they've just been doing time and time again since the Pat Gilroy, Jim Gavin came in, and it to avoid repetition, but it's just the same thing over and over. They can just hang in games and then boom, boom, boom. They're amazing.
They're terrific. Like, they really are. And like, you know, you look at the players that aren't playing there tonight. You know, the no Cluxton, no Dean Rock, no Johnny Cooper, no Keane O'Sullivan. Doesn't matter. You know, they just play what they play. They all know their role. They're good. Like, you know, Paddy Small has come on a lot. He scored what? Well, he scored 1-3 there. Costlow, I don't think he missed anything. Maybe he missed one. They're very good. They're the Dubs.
And look, the Messon's over. Malik, you're an Ulster man as well, a proud man from Monaghan Town in beautiful county Monaghan, the Farmy Army. Look, we've Ulster Championship starting in 2 weeks. The Messon's over. Donegal played down. And listen, not going to dissect every game, but overall, how do you see the Ulster Championship developing this year?
Well, you know, if we were talking before today, you were going, well, geez, there's four good Ulster teams in that played in Division 1 North, yeah. And there was absolutely nothing between the four of them. And then Tyrone got a murdering today down in Killarney. Donegal were, like, that was a comfortable 4-point defeat, mm-hmm. Now there tonight. And Monaghan and Armagh are both playing in relegation playoffs tomorrow morning, I suppose, by the time this goes out. Yeah, we'll know. So I kind of thought that it was going to be a good Ulster Championship, but you wouldn't know now. You wouldn't, like, who knows what level these teams are really at.
But it's probably the sum of its parts, isn't it? Okay, when I say it's the toughest province, I mean that 6, 4, 5 teams will feel that they can win it without anyone probably going on to win an All-Ireland, ostensibly speaking.
You'd have to think so. I mean, the Ulster Champions got relegated to Division 4 today. Like, so you wonder really what the standard is, you know. It's going to be interesting. It's always interesting. There's never a whole pile between them. But look, I would be very surprised. I'd be very surprised if the semi-finals aren't Monaghan against Armagh and Donegal against Tyrone, and we take it from there. I think they are the four best teams. I think there are the four teams with the who've been longest on the road. And they know what they're at. I don't know what the hell has happened to Cavan that they're after getting relegated to Division 4. Down have done nothing in the league. Derry are coming. You know, Derry got promoted to Division 2 today. So that's, you know, that's a good job that Rory Gallagher's doing there. So there could be something in them, but I will be pretty surprised now if it's not Monaghan Armagh in one semi-final, Donegal and Tyrone in the other semi-final, and who knows after that. But absolutely, like, the winners will play Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final. I would presume that's as far as any Ulster team is going. I could be very, very surprised if they're going to beat Kerry, and astonished if they go on then to beat Dublin.
Horrible question. Call Ulster.
No, I hadn't really thought about this.
It's a horrific question to ask a man on a Saturday night.
No. It's a fair one. Before today, I probably would have said... Who would I have said? I maybe would have said Tyrone. But, like, you can't be going into an Ulster Championship giving away 5.5 goals. I think Donegal are probably... Depends on Michael, obviously. If Michael is back and flying, I think they have the highest ceiling of the four really good Ulster teams. I don't think tonight is representative of them. They didn't have... They had half a team out or thereabouts. You know, with Michael playing, it frees up everybody else to do so many different things. It frees up Michael Langan. It frees up Niall O'Donnell. I thought Kieran McGonigal was the best Donegal player tonight. Now, I thought he was very, very good and very dogged and, you know, no respecter of an opposition, which you want. Like, you know, he's playing midfield. He's playing against Brian Fenton. And he had a real go. And I admired that. I think Donegal are probably favourites, but... Look, there's nothing between them. It's Ulster.
It's Game of Thrones, really.
Ulster. It's Game of Thrones finally in a word. Will the City Slickers, will they be buzzing for the half dozens? Revving for seven? Sorry, I'm even forgetting. And I live in Dublin for half of the year myself, so actually, sorry, I was buzzing for the half dozen last year. It's revving for seven now because I got a T-shirt and everything sent to me as well.
I don't know. I think maybe Kerry would get them this year, but you wouldn't know. I Kerry look very good.
Kerry or Monaghan, yeah.
Kerry or Monaghan, yeah.
Go on, says you. Malachy.
As long as we don't go out to Cavan for the third year in a row.
Yeah, you weren't too disappointed with that result today. And Navin Malachy, clerk in the Irish Times, thank you so much for joining me here on the Donegal GA podcast.
No worries.
Now, the final word with Donegal Sports Hub, Chris McNulty. Chris, I know you've done a bit of work too for the Nationals and you've all your reports on, and I'm really annoying when people see me coming, they're all trying to get away from me. But look, I suppose the theme of the night with all the people that I spoke to, you know, Paddy McBrady, Malachy Clerkin and Mark McHugh and so on, the overarching theme really coming from the whole thing was just felt like a dead rubber in a challenge game. That's kind of how it panned out. Is that fair?
It did. Like, I mean, even during the week, it was very, very hard to look forward to this game, you know, given that there was nothing at stake. Like, it's very peculiar. I don't think I've ever seen it in world sport at any level where you've got a semi-final that doesn't offer the prospect of a final. I mean, you know, I suppose it would have been a little bit different had the other game, the Tyrone-Kerry game, gone the other way. At least, you know, Dublin would have had the chance of playing a final next week. But, you know, once that result came in, it just really sort of took whatever air was in the game out of it. But look, I suppose it was a useful enough run out. I mean, from a Donegal point of view, would they have been better in Donegal training today or better having this look? They're better having a run out against a side like Dublin. They've got a really, really good workout. Worrying probably with a couple of injuries there and absolutely no time for them to recover now. Like, I mean, we're, 15 days out from championship?
Yeah, on that, you know, when you're commentating and you're following the play, sometimes you don't get to see players coming off. How bad did Stephen McMenamin look?
Well, Stephen,
and Oran Manelis as well.
Well, Stephen did get a knock during the first half, and it looked, when he went down here just in front of the Donegal goal, that he might have been withdrawn. Sort of hobbled on to half-time. Now, remember, bear in mind, Stephen has been carrying a knock over the last number of weeks anyway, so probably wasn't at full tilt. Oran's thing looked like he sort of pulled or maybe tweaked a hamstring, and again, you know, regardless of the severity of it, if it is a sort of a muscle strain like that, 2 weeks isn't a long, long time to get. You know, you really don't have the recovery time now before the championship kicks off, two weeks' time.
We have had no luck with injuries. And let's be honest, Chris, the chasing pack, shall we call them. Look, the teams ranked from second, I include Kerry in this, to eighth or ninth, cannot be missing anybody. Dublin's different. Dublin can miss five, six guys to go and win an All-Ireland. Let's be honest, it's irrelevant. And it's been, you know, I mentioned the word theme already. One of the themes, really, for Donegal in the last couple of years has been injuries. We just bloody need everybody, don't we?
Yeah, we do, Pat. I mean, even the likes of Oran McNeilis coming back in, like, you know, Oran wasn't there for the last couple of years, and you always just felt he was missing. Even though, you know, he wasn't available on the panel, he just felt, you know, we are a county, because although, like, there is a good strong squad there at the moment, it's a good strong squad when everyone is there and everyone's firing on all cylinders. And again, you're Donegal side now that, you know, you're still knocking on that sort of top four, top five teams in the country, and to stay there, I mean, you look at our absences tonight, like Neil McGee, probably the best fullback that's ever worn the county colours, Michael Murphy, I mean, you know, you don't need me, better men than me will analyse Michael Murphy, but, you know, to be missing players of that, then look, still to come within 4 points of Dublin tonight, like, I just made the point of Declan Bonner Paddy afterwards. Donegal were 8 points down at a stage in the second half. They were emptying the bench. There was a danger that game could have completely ran away from them. So, you know, credit to the young fellas that have come in, the likes of Tony McLennan, Owen McGettigan, helped themselves to 1-1. Do their confidence the world of good to come in and sort of useful enough performance against the Dubs.
You get much more information than I do. Donegal supporters have been texting in, got a couple of emails as well. Michael Murphy, are we going to see him in 2 weeks? Do you think against Down?
I think we will, Paddy. I mean, that night that he was withdrawn against Monaghan, he was given a fitness test before the game. any sight of a little bit of barm, he was pulled off after 5 minutes. So the fact he had been given the fitness test would suggest that there was maybe a slight doubt. He obviously came through the fitness test okay, but the first sight of trouble, he was hooked. Like, there was no sort of thing of, let's give him like 5 minutes into the game to pull Michael Murphy off. Look, I would say, you know, and even the soundings we're getting from them, I saw a clip of Michael. He was down doing a bit of work with the Glen Swally. It was an underage thing during the weekend. The kids were sort of pelting him with footballs, and he was dodging out of the way, and he was sort of moving sort of very swiftly out of the way, which, you know, would, I know, look, it was a bit of crack on a video with young kids, but we sort of latch on to everything, don't we, Paddy, you know? And
well, we do with Michael Murphy. I mean, the man could solve world hunger tomorrow morning, like.
Absolutely, but no, look, I think to be fair, you know, we will be seeing Michael Murphy on the edge of the square in two weeks' time. Neil McGee, possibly the same, like, no chances were taken tonight. I mean, Declan was never going to take a chance with anybody. I mean, anybody feeling any class of a knock tonight, he was never going to throw them into that arena tonight.
And look, I know every county team now, look, it's so insular in many ways, but Owen Bangalore wasn't on the 26th today. Mark and myself had no idea why he picked up a knock as well, did he?
Yeah, I think if you remember again, Owen came off that night against Monaghan as well, and I suppose again, you just, any wee
it's
tweak.
It's a cotton wool job.
Absolutely, Paddy. Jimmy Brennan's been the same. Like, Jimmy hasn't appeared for the last couple of weeks, and again, you would think that if championship wasn't so close, we probably may have seen some of them boys thrown in at a point in this evening's game.
I'm going to ask you a horrible question. Some years you go in with huge optimism. Other years were particular years where you didn't go in with any because maybe you're just not going well. You know, talking 10, 12 years ago. I personally, just me and Mark were saying, don't really know where we're at, do we? I'm sure Declan Boner and the team would have a better idea, but supporters will be, again, you know, they're just asking, where are Donegal? Well, where are Donegal at? Like,
yeah, like, I suppose you've got a lot, we've had a lot to be worried about in the last number of weeks, with how open they were, particularly against Monaghan, and Armagh conceded big score. But if you look at, like, the performances of Patrick McBertie, especially in the context of the absence of Michael Murphy, Patrick has been really, really leading the line. If you throw Murphy in on top of that, we have a lot to be encouraged about. But I do think, you know, there's just that wee thing in the back of your mind going, geez, I don't know. And maybe that's last year still sort of knocking in the back of our minds where we were guilty of looking too far ahead. But you look, I mean,
it was a big sting, though. And I know we said it, if you were on our podcast before, let's look forward. But it's hard because you're defined by your past.
It is now, but I suppose at the same time, Donegal, and not to sort of, you know, get a touch of arrogance about us, but over the last 10 years, Donegal have been the leading team in Ulster for that period. You know, we still have the same squad of players. You have to look forward with a bit of confidence, but there probably just is that wee sort of voice in the head that's thinking, just hold on a wee second here. Now, you look at teams across Ulster, you know, there's four or five teams there in a given day you could get caught. But if Donegal have learned one lesson from 2020, it should mean that they won't get caught how they did last year by looking too far in the distance. I mean, tonight's a different thing where, you know, we didn't take any risk on players, but come the championship, you've got to be going in and got to be sort of utterly ruthless, I think, is probably what you're looking for Donegal to be. I mean, you'd still think, even those days where they conceded the big scores against Monaghan and Armagh recently, still weren't beaten. You know, Donegal are still capable, and that's without Murphy. That's without your leading light. So you put that into context, I would be going into the summer reasonably confident, but just, I suppose, with last year still in the mind, but still thinking, look, you know, it would be a travesty for Donegal if they don't win Ulster. You know, it would be a travesty. It's kind of unthinkable because been knocking on that top level for so long, you've gotta, but it's a long way to get there, particularly, Paddy, from the preliminary round, particularly coming the year as well, where, you know, you are carrying those wee knocks and niggles. One of those go wrong, it could be the difference.
Yeah, and your Dublins and the Kerrys and that, and Dublin could put out anybody and rest their key men, can't they? They can peak for 7-8 weeks' time. They know they're going to be in the semi-final. Like, unless they play the Cookie Monster and Peter Pan in their full back line, they're winning Leinster.
And I think even at that, I think they would still manage to get over the line in Leinster. Do you know, I mean, And that's the big thing where it's really skewed sort of in their favour. It's certainly skewed against the likes of Donegal. I mean, where, you know, you're going to Newry in a couple of weeks' time. If you come out of that, you've got Derry. That's only in an Ulster semi-final, and you haven't spoken about Tyrone, Cavan, Monaghan yet. You know, Ulster is just such a minefield, and you come out of it, you're not coming out refreshed. Dublin have now, from here in the next couple of months, and, you know, they can sort of footer about in Leinster, probably still won it. Not really putting the feet off the gas, but Donegal got a good injury in 2 weeks' time with the right foot firmly down on the accelerator, and that's the big, big difference.
Yeah, I think it was you that said before, you were Frank Craig, that once bitten, twice shy. Chris McNulty, Donegal Sports Hub, among many others. We need to get out of Cavan, Chris.
Absolutely, we might try another sandwich before we go, Paddy.
Sandwich, we might try a pint as well. So that's it for this weekend's edition of our Donegal GAA podcast. Remember, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Simply search Ocean FM Ireland. I am back on Thursday. Of course, the Intercounty Championship just 2 weeks away. And on Thursday, we will be previewing that one. Of course, Donegal take on Down and Park Esler in Newry 2 weeks today. Okay, bye for now. Stay safe and talk to you Thursday.
FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.